Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hello and welcome to Beauty Inside Out. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, nutritionist, wellness expert, and author. On this podcast, I share my experiences, insights, and knowledge with you on health, beauty, personal development, and wellness. Every week, we have interviews with amazing pioneers in their fields. So joining me in the conversation every week is also my dear friend, Tony, who is a health researcher out of Stanford. Hey, beauties, welcome back. Hey, T, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I'm missing you today. We're not together, but we're still neighbors, just a little bit further away today.
Yeah, together in spirit.
So, T, today I'm really excited to talk about this this amazing green, which is getting more trendy. It's getting more popular, but I know a lot of you out there may be wondering, like, what is the deal with Moringa? Why am I hearing about it? Can I just have spinach or kale? Why is it special? So today, T, I'm really excited to delve into all things Moringa related.
Yes. Yeah. It's a really exciting superfood, and it's in a lot of things. And what what excited me though, too, is that you have like personal experience.
Yes, yes. I will say that in many countries, first of all, when I was in Africa, is the first place probably that I became conscious of encountering it. I might have seen it in my travels in Asia, but I remember really talking about it in Africa. I was in Rwanda and we were eating a lot of meals together, and they would prepare these greens and I would eat them with rice and beans, and it was delicious, and I had it cooked there. And then when I was in Nicaragua last summer, there were these incredible farms that we visited, and there was a lot of Moringa there, and I was just eating it right off the tree, and it had this sort of bright taste. And it's, if you see, it looks like it's like a long sort of branch tea, and then these little almost tear-shaped leaves that go off each branch. So it's a really beautiful tree. And then I've had some Filipino aunties stay with us since Bubby was born, and they call Moringa in the Philippines Moringay. And they would bring it for me from these Asian markets. So we had a lot of Moringa around, and I was putting it in my GGS tea. We even tried to plant a Moringa tree in our yard. God. Sadly, he did not survive. It wasn't the perfect climate. I didn't, you know, I probably didn't take care of it exactly right. But anyways, I love Moringa, and I do have a lot of personal experience with it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, when I was doing the research, I was pretty blown away. It's like people consider it like a miracle tree, and it seems like.
Why is it so different than like spinach tea? It has that flavor a little bit. It's
yeah.
A little bitter, but you know.
Yeah. I mean, just a green though that grows on trees like that is kind of, unique, but it's, I think the miraculousness of it is that like in those countries, like some of the ones you mentioned, like Africa, where malnutrition is prevalent,
yes.
It's like, it's considered such a good treatment or an antidote for malnutrition because it's got such high nutrient density. It's almost like at the level of like algae, where it's that concentrated in all these different like vitamins and minerals and different nutrients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is more concentrated. So even if we're having the glowing green smoothie and we're getting all these amazing greens, since Moringa has some, you know, all greens have different properties. It has, you know, quite a bit of protein, for instance, and vitamin B6 and vitamin C and iron. It's good to, you know, we could add a little bit of it powdered into our power protein smoothie, or if we're traveling and we can't make the GGS, it's something that's good to have in a green powder form.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it does so much. I mean, when I was doing the research, I mean, it.
Tell us, T. So yeah. Your best finds.
It fights for, you know, so it's a very strong free radical scavenger, even helping like clean up like DNA oxidation. That was pretty impressive. It's really good with inflammation. So there's some studies and the research that we'll link to where it can lower, that talks about how it can lower inflammation in the cells. And then blood sugar regulation, which is a big culprit in weight gain or somebody becoming like pre-diabetic. is another one. It is really good for the cardiovascular system, kind of helping regulate cholesterol. Some also have found that it's the brain. It's really helpful for the brain, and so that it's even been used or tested as a treatment for Alzheimer's with favorable like initial results. And there's liver protective benefits also. So we've talked before about the importance of the liver and all that the liver does in terms of detoxifying the blood and bile and metabolism.
It has stabilizing and detoxifying benefits as well as all these amazing nutrients, it sounds like.
Yes, exactly. And so
we've talked about chia seeds a lot, T, as being an amazing food for diabetics, for helping us maintain healthy blood sugar levels. And it's interesting that this green, which isn't like a fatty seed, sort of also has that effect. And that's just from its chemical makeup.
Yeah, exactly. Its nutrient composition is so powerful and complete. I mean, it appears like there's some people that speculate like you could. It's one of the foods that you could almost live off of for an extended period of time if you had enough of it and not have nutritional deficiencies.
Well, what's amazing, I'm looking at this study that you sent me, T, and it says that moringa has 25 times more iron than spinach, 17 times more calcium than milk, which we know isn't really readily absorbed anyway, 7 times more vitamin C than oranges, 10 times more vitamin A than carrots, and 15 times more potassium than bananas. I mean, it's just crazy.
I know. It's pretty mind-blowing in this, like, one little leaf. And, yeah, and the cool thing is, like you alluded to in the beginning, that it's so much more widely available now, and it's so affordable. Because of how easily it grows, that you can get like moringa powder on Amazon, or I think there's a lot of different ways to consume it. I think that's probably the last thing for us to cover is like how should somebody take moringa.
Well, and you know, before we go into that, tea, like I love how you said like the malnutrition aspect, and sometimes we have these amazing foods right at our fingertips and we sort of gloss over them, or we forget, or we aren't aware. And I remember in Africa, there would be these amazing avocado trees and people wouldn't eat them because they didn't really think it was a big deal or whatever, you know? And instead of just saying, oh, you know, you don't have to wait to get a rabbit or a piece of goat or a piece of game or whatever it is, like you can get a lot of amazing calories from avocados and you can, you know, have more of this moringa and actually get some good iron and some good protein in your diet. So sometimes it's just that re-education, and same thing for us, you know, in the Western world is, you know, lemons are right in front of us and we treat them as, or cabbage, like these foods have amazing properties for cleansing and detoxifying and rebuilding. So sometimes it's an important perspective shift, you know, and just growing in awareness.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. And a lot of people, I mean, one of the kind of fear-based reasons why people consume animal products is like, oh, they're dense. They're just more nutrient dense, or they've got more oh, you know, they would keep you alive longer if you were alive, you know, whatever. But in the case, you know, there's some silly arguments out there. But in the case of moringa, is very much like it solves all of that kind of the someone's nutritional needs almost in one thing. Mm-hmm. And so really, it's like such a good counter to this idea that like, oh my God, you have to have meat to have the right density of nutrients and all these things. Like moringa is one of the most nutrient dense foods on the planet, more than meat, because it's dense in its kind of macros, but it's even more dense in all of its micronutrients.
Incredible. Well, yes, T, thank you for sharing all that. Now let's talk about how we can incorporate moringa into our lives. As I mentioned, I had seen it in some Asian markets and my Filipino aunties would bring it to me, but usually for most of us, it's most accessible in a powdered form.
Yes. Yeah. There's some green superfood types of products that are like actually a lot more are now incorporating moringa into their formulas. So that's one way. There's certain greens kind of formulas you can get it, but one of the most affordable ways, like you said, is just to get the straight powder, and then just mix it in water, or you could add it to a little bit of it to a GGS or something.
Yeah. You could add a little bit to your GGS. It's just like, with spirulina, it's you know, strong, so you don't need to add a lot. And usually we say, you know, you don't need to add very much to your GGS, but in this case, if you want to add a little boost, that would be fine. Or what I've been doing, T, is sometimes I add a little bit into my power protein smoothie, along with the banana and, you know, sometimes some stevia or whatever else I'm putting. It does balance the taste, because it is strong. I will say that when it's powdered, it's concentrated. It's not like this. It's not like eating a date or a fig or anything like that. It is does taste green for sure.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Although there's certain times, like, are there certain ways to make the flavor milder? I think I'm not a tea person, so I'm probably not the best to comment on this. But one of the things I know you are, and so. Moringa tea is another way that you can have it that is maybe a little bit more mild, right?
Well, and tea, you know what's interesting? I think about back in the day, and I believe I included this recipe in my first book, The Beauty Detox Solution for Spirulina Pie. And I wonder if more desserts like moringa pie, you know, with coconut nectar or whatever, you know, just vegan desserts, superfood desserts will come out incorporating moringa the way spirulina has. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's amazing, because it also, like matcha flavored things are becoming more popular, so you could have like some, you could actually mix moringa and matcha will kind of give it the flavor, and then moringa will give it like all the nutrients. That would be kind of cool.
Amazing. I hope you guys are excited to check out moringa. You can look for it in health food markets. You can source it online. Since it's powdered, it will ship pretty easily to you, and you don't have to worry about, you know, refrigeration issues or anything like that. So I definitely recommend checking it out.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a great. It's something that it's a such a cool thing that we have access to, like, to foods like this.
Exactly. And again, as we mentioned, you might want to build up, you know, you don't want to, I did this once, T, I dumped a whole amount into a smoothie and sort of ruined it. So we do recommend starting with a smaller amount, like a, you know, a eighth or a quarter of a teaspoon, and just see how you do with it, like any new food, and then you can build from there. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, T, for gathering all this information.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, beauties. Remember, in the show notes, we'll have links to a lot of different research and studies and more information on moringa if you are interested. But don't go anywhere. We'll be right back right after the break for an exciting interview.
It's time to breathe easier this allergy season with Breathe Right Nasal Strips. With instant nasal congestion relief for up to 12 hours, you can spend your time on your terms, not on your noses. Stuffy nose from outdoor allergens? No problem. We got you. Allergy season just turned into stripping season. Instant relief from nasal congestion anytime, anywhere. Need more convincing? Click the banner below and get a free sample. Breathe Right. Get your strip on. Use as directed.
I'm Spencer Pratt.
And I'm Heidi Pratt with Gunnar Pratt.
The Miracle Baby.
That's
and this
right.
is the hashtag Make Spidey Famous Again podcast.
On podcast one.
We will be discussing the hottest action to ever hit the multiverse. Crystals, espresso, hummingbirds, celebrity gossip.
Parenting.
Of course. Make sure to download new episodes every Wednesday on podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, and make sure to rate and review on Apple Podcast.
And keep your hate on somebody else's podcast review. Thank you.
Hey, beauties. Welcome back. I have a very special interview for you today. I have Ashley Levy, who is a crystal expert and the founder and educational director of the Love and Light School of Crystal Therapy. So, Ashley, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Oh, Kimberly, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
Well, I have to say, Ashley, that, you know, crystals are something that I'm personally very interested in. I've just sort of always been attracted to them. I think they look beautiful. I like having them all around my home. But I know that there is a lot of healing properties that come from them. I know they're becoming more popular. I know that they're created in the earth and they're like thousands and millions of years old and they have all these special properties. So just on, you know, top level, Ashley, can you give us just a little bit of information about why crystals are such a great modality to include in our wellness routines?
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that I really truly love most about crystals is that they can be combined with just about any other wellness-based work that you're doing. So whether that's meditation or aromatherapy or yoga, you can incorporate crystal energy into that. So it's pretty great that way, because no matter what your spiritual practice is or no matter what your wellness practice is, they just blend in pretty seamlessly.
And but what are they doing? Like, what are they amplifying energy? Are they taking away negativity? Like, what are they actually doing?
So the great thing about crystals is that each of them has kind of their own inherent properties. And these are based on the crystal's composition, so its actual physical structure. So a crystal basically has a regularly repeating atomic blueprint or structure. So all of its little molecules and atoms are arranged in a really precise and perfect way. And that precise order and energetic perfection is kind of a metaphor for us. So when we think about our own energy fields that are kind of crazy, right? We have our emotions affecting things. We have our physical health affecting things. Our own energy field is not always so perfect and stable. But when we bring the energy of a crystal into our field, whether that's by wearing a piece of jewelry or holding a crystal, keeping one in our pocket, or even just having them in our space, it's kind of a guiding light for our own energy field. And our body and energy field goes through the process of entrainment and starts to mimic that perfect, orderly energy of the crystal.
Wow. So it's almost like when we see, you know, a mandala, like sacred geometry, you're saying that's like inherently within the crystal. So it just helps to sort of bring us back into that balance.
You know what? I love that. That is such a good example. Yeah, it's almost like a three-dimensional mandala.
So how do we know which crystals to choose? Like, you know, you said carry some in our pockets, some are for meditation, some are on our desk. Which ones, like which specific, you know, ones would be helpful? Which ones should we look for?
Well, think about it this way. Let me ask you this first, Kimberly. You said that, you know, you really like crystals and you've been drawn to them. Have you ever had an experience where maybe a crystal has really caught your attention and you were really enamored with it and you just felt kind of drawn to connect with it or maybe buy it and bring it home and put it somewhere in your house? Have you had that experience ever?
I have, but I'm more of a person where I would rather, you know, I kind of like look up, you know, I like to always learn about foods and why they're good for us and why certain ones help with stress or building our hair or building our skin. So I've always been more like I look up, oh, amethyst is like, you know, for this or citrine clears that. So for me, I've always sort of been more interested in specific qualities, if that makes sense. And then I'll seek them out.
It does. So that's actually, there are two main ways that we can kind of choose the right crystals for ourselves. So the first is definitely more of the logical approach where we really reflect on what's going on in our lives and, you know, turn to an expert, whether that's an author or, you know, a great article we find online for some guidance and helping us choose a crystal and then kind of make yourself a little shopping list and go find those stones. Now, the other way is more of an intuitive approach. And that's where maybe you allow yourself to go to your favorite crystal shop and you really get centered and focused in the present moment and you just see what you naturally are drawn to. And then what's really interesting is if you look up the healing properties of those crystals that you've chosen more intuitively, and you'll find that they often really resonate with what's going on with you right now.
So who wrote all these, like quartz is good for clearing or rose quartz is good for love. Like, how do we know this knowledge? Is it in some ancient text or there, you know what I'm saying? Like it's different than when we can like break down the properties of foods, but it seems like there's this general consensus about, you know, citrine or, you know, whatever these crystals are. And I wonder like, what is the origin of that?
So yeah, that's a great question. And one that I definitely get often. So you might pick up, you know, three different crystal books and read about amethyst in each one. And sometimes you'll find some things that are, you know, overlapping and that each author kind of has in common with the same crystal. But sometimes you'll read about a crystal in a few different books and you'll get a totally different viewpoint. And that's because crystals are really subjective because they're based on our own personal experience. And each crystal, even though it has its own unique vibrational frequency, the way that that energy interacts with our own energy field is going to be different from person to person. But there are some kind of general qualities that are agreed upon that do go back to different historical references. So, for example, amethyst is known for helping people overcome addictions and bad habits, whether that be, you know, consuming a couple too many glasses of wine or overeating. And it, that actually goes back to ancient Greece. And there's a legend about how ancient Greeks would actually drink their wine carved from amethyst goblets. And it was supposed to prevent drunkenness. Well, we know now that that's because eventually they would stop filling those goblets with wine and put water in them. And people thought it was wine because the beautiful purple amethyst crystal tinted the water a purple color.
Wow. That's so interesting.
It is. So we definitely take some of these cues from history and from legend and lore, but a lot of modern crystal healers really tune into the energy of crystals and write about their own personal experiences or their experiences that they have with their clients and using stones. And many of our modern crystal properties are kind of discovered that way.
So, you know, you mentioned it's about, they're like kind of this perfect geometry, like this perfect, you know, just structure that helps to bring us back into balance. So when we're choosing crystals, we want the most clear ones, I assume then, or is that?
Yeah, that's an interesting concept too. So it really depends on kind of the approach that you're taking. So say that you were really looking at your crystals through the perspective of an Ayurvedic practitioner. Well, in that particular methodology, it's very important to look at the clarity and purity of a crystal or gemstone. So there you would definitely want to choose a very clear stone or gem. But for most modern crystal practitioners, the quality of the stone isn't as important as your intention for using it. Now, there are a few things that I recommend when you're choosing crystals. I recommend working with all natural stones. So I personally prefer not to work with dyed things or enhanced things. Yeah. Do you feel that too?
Definitely. I've seen some of those dyed ones that are like super bright colors. And I personally would much rather have something just made in the earth.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because usually like kids are really drawn to those super bright colors. But even sometimes if we just need a particular color vibration in our energy field, we might be drawn to like a bright purple or bright blue stone that's actually dyed. So if you can find something with a similar color frequency that's natural, I usually recommend that.
Mm-mm-mm. So, you know, let's talk about some like practical uses while we have you here, Ashley. Like, let's say you're trying to attract more abundance, better professional situation, more money in your life. What stones would be good for that and how would you use them?
So citrine is great for that because not only is citrine known as a crystal for wealth and prosperity, but it's a natural confidence booster and success magnet. So it really helps draw things to you. And it's a great stone for working with the law of attraction and also for enhancing your gratitude practice. So I love this crystal for that purpose. And you can also use something like jade. Jade has been used for thousands of years as a stone for health, wealth, and prosperity. So this is, you know, a really powerful stone because it has this accumulated kind of a mass consciousness belief around it that goes back thousands of years in human experience. Now to use these, you can wear them as jewelry. That's a great way to bring the energy into your field. You can just carry one in your pocket. You can create a little medicine bag or medicine pouch by putting a few stones in something and wearing it around your neck. Or you can even just put the crystals in your space or your environment. And what's great is if you combine that with some feng shui and maybe put those crystals in your wealth or prosperity corner according to the Bagua map.
I see. So they don't have to touch your body. You can just have them in your space and they're still amplifying the energy.
That's very true. And, you know, for many of us, we feel like if something's closer to us, it's more of a constant reminder. So I think if you really need that breakthrough and you really need that reminder to kind of shift your perspective or your outlook. So say you're having, you know, a lot of thoughts where you're coming from a place of lack or you're missing some self-worth, then I think wearing your crystal as jewelry or having it with you is really important because it's almost more like a touchstone and a reminder to shift those thoughts. But if it's really more a matter of bringing that energy more into your space, you have a good positive outlook, then I think using your crystals in your home or workspace is just fine.
You know, and I've also seen, Ashley, like water bottles of crystals, like where the water touches it and you drink out of it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so that's known as a gem water or a crystal elixir. And I love this. This is actually a process that I do pretty much every day. I have my gem elixirs going, but I use a little bit safer method of preparation. So when you put the crystals directly in the water, you do need to be careful because some stones are actually toxic. So you can't put just any crystal, which a lot of people don't realize when they're first starting out. So you do need to be safe and be careful. But a lot of those water bottles that you're talking about, Kimberly, are so lovely because they actually have a glass divider between the crystals themselves and the water. So they're totally safe to use.
Okay, so it's better to get one with a glass divider. Some are toxic, some could leach heavy metal. So don't just stick rocks in your water is what you're saying.
You got it.
Okay, good disclaimer. All right, Ashley, then what if someone is trying to attract a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a mate in their life? What, what would they do with crystals or what crystals would they use?
Yeah, so you mentioned rose quartz earlier, Kimberly, and that's a great one for this. It really helps you radiate your inner beauty. So, you know, showing on the outside who you are on the inside and letting your mate kind of see that and be called to it like a beacon. It really lets people get to know you at your core and really who you are on a soul level. So I love rose quartz for this. You can also
powerful from crystal.
It is. It seriously is. Rose quartz is like one of those crystals that I think gets overlooked a little bit because it's so common, but it is a powerful stone. And then if you want to really,
what do we do with it?
Oh, so again, wearing this one as jewelry is great, but you can also create something called a crystal grid. Now, this is like a little sacred geometric arrangement or a little mandala that you create out of several stones and put it in your sacred space or on your altar. And what that does is it sends out your intention to find a mate or whatever the purpose of your particular grid would be to the universe. And it does it in the universe's own language, which is sacred geometry. So you place these crystals, which are natural amplifiers, and they have these inherent qualities in the sacred geometric shape with intention. And then it sends this message out to the universe loud and clear for what you're trying to call into you. So if that's a mate, you can create one of these crystal grids out of rose quartz. If you really wanted to amp up your passion and attraction vibe, you could incorporate something like ruby. Really, the possibilities are endless.
Well, how do you know what shape? You would just look up like a mandala shape online and kind of create your own variation of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So you could do this more intuitively and just kind of play around with the crystals and arrange them. You could incorporate kind of a universal symbol that was related to what you were trying to do. So say for love, maybe you want to actually create a heart shape out of your stones. If you were looking for more protection or stability, maybe you go with a square shape since that's traditionally associated with stability and being grounded. It's really kind of up to you, but when in doubt, you can use the seed of life or flower of life because these have kind of the infinite manifesting potential to call in whatever it is that you're looking for. So when in doubt, the seed of life or flower of life shapes make great crystal grid bases or shapes, and you just place the crystals at the points where the different circles in those shapes overlap.
Amazing. Well, Ashley, this is super interesting. Thank you so much for shedding some light on crystals, which are you know, just could be such a potentially amazing tool to incorporate. I love, you know, we can have fun with them. They're non-toxic. They're beautiful to see. They've been used for thousands of years. I'm personally really attracted to them. And I just think it's another great level of, you know, just another thing we can add in our wellness repertoire as we journey on this path and keep growing. So thank you so much, Ashley.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So, beauties, thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys are inspired to go out and get some crystals. And as Ashley said, you can intuitively choose the ones that call to you. You can seek them out. You can use them for specific purposes. We are going to link in the show notes to more on Ashley, where to find her, her website, loveandlightschool.com, also on her Facebook and Instagram. So, Ashley, again, thank you so much. This has been amazing.
It was a pleasure.
And thank you so much, beauties, for tuning in. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and we will be right back here with you guys on Thursday. Okay, beauties, I will be back with you on Thursday for my Q&A session show where I answer questions from the Beauty Detox community. To submit your question, please go to KimberlySnyder.com/AskKimberly. Thanks so much and see you again soon. And always remember, progress, not perfection, as true beauty comes from the inside out.
It's time to breathe easier this allergy season with Breathe Right Nasal Strips. With instant nasal congestion relief for up to 12 hours, you can spend your time on your terms, not on your noses. Stuffy nose from outdoor allergens? No problem. We got you. Allergy season just turned into stripping season. Instant relief from nasal congestion anytime, anywhere. Need more convincing? Click the banner below and get a free sample. Breathe Right. Get your strip on. Use as directed.